Welcome to today's episode of the Pinstripe Valley Podcast, where we're 80s-ing it up and clearing our throats in excitement for what will be baseball tomorrow, or by the time you hear this today, as it's been a long All-Star Week. I am Greg Kirkland, your host, or also known as I'm Giving You a Raise. With me, as always, is Tanya, Jason, and Andrew. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Dr. Nick.
Hey.
I suppose we shouldn't be too energetic because it's really hot out. It's brutally hot. Thank God for air conditioning. All right. Oh, A-Rod. Hey, A-Rod played today. There's in our little bit of Yankee baseball news that we can talk about, he played for the Rail Riders. Didn't he hit a home run?
He hit a nice home run. I think I called it, too. Called it.
Calling it?
I'm calling a home run.
Nice.
From the past.
From the past.
That's like some like Doctor Who kind of stuff right there.
Bold of you.
Yeah, I think he went like 1-for-4. So I believe it was just announced recently he will definitely be with us on Monday.
Yeah.
Sure, he'll get a good reception in Texas.
Farewell, Luis Cruz.
Who do you think they're getting rid of for him?
Luis Cruz.
Really?
I mean, who's
Alberto
left?
Alberto Gonzalez, maybe?
Oh, Alberto Gonzalez is probably dead. Gone.
I mean, they're kind of like the exact same, so I don't really know how they're going to make that decision.
Probably because...
Flip a coin?
Probably, if they don't flip a coin, it's probably based on the fact that Alberto Gonzalez has already been DFA'd.
Oh, so they don't want to do it again. Oh, so it's not they're afraid of doubling down. It's
No. They are... This is the Yankees. They're very comfortable with doubling down.
I see. I see.
Yeah, so... Sorry, but we kind of need A-Rod back with
Ari and Alberto.
Especially if he's going to bring dingers, because none of them bring dingers.
Yes, we need dingerdom. But yeah, so Monday, Texas. He did well in Texas, so that's promising. And I think that's a pretty good bandbox for him to get back into the swing of things. Think they'll throw him at third base or DH him?
I don't know. I mean,
they might just stick him right there.
I think it will probably depend on Jeter and if he is around to play or not, because I have to imagine that one of them will probably DH.
We'll get to Jeter in a bit, but yeah, I think they'll probably DH A-Rod.
For the time. Yeah, didn't he say that he wasn't sure if he was ready to play in the field yet?
Oh, that's
I'm pretty sure during his press conference, he said that, like, he's all good to go with hitting, but, like, third base, he might need some more time.
I thought you were about to say surgery.
He might need surgery just for third base, but to hit, he's fine.
Good times. Well, I'm all for him DHing at this point. I mean, Travis Hafner has not done much to say, yeah, we need him in the lineup.
No.
Probably the opposite of that.
He had a 67 WRC plus in the last 30 days.
Jeez.
I was just thinking with Wells hitting a tad better, do you think they send down Zoilo when A-Rod comes up?
I am more afraid for Zoilo as far as when Granderson gets back than I am.
Oh, yeah.
When A-Rod
because Alberto Gonzalez Zoilo's... is probably going when A-Rod comes back. Or Luis Cruz.
I think Zoilo will be around until Granderson comes back.
Oh, I'll miss him.
I mean, with all of Granderson's problems, who knows?
I said Zoilo's kind of turning into David Adams.
Yeah.
Shows a bit more patience than David Adams, but yeah.
As in he's walked at all?
Adams walked twice in that one game.
He did. He did. That's very true.
Baby steps, people. Baby steps.
It was a big day for the Adams family.
But Zoilo has a sub 500 OPS.
Sorry, I'm still not over that pun he just made. Boo. Boo, I say. Boo this man.
I'll show myself out now.
But what was that? What were those stats about him?
Oh, is everybody ready now?
Yes, we're all ready. We booed Andrew. So.
In the last 14 days, he has a sub 500 OPS.
Oof.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yep.
So come back soon, A-Rod. Well, Monday. So just a quick weekend in Boston.
Quick?
Quick.
Very quick. Just close your eyes.
Blink. And these games will be done with. I'm calling for 1 hour, 58-minute games.
Calling it?
Calling it.
That's bold.
Oh, man. But, all right, back to Jeter. Yeah. Anyone else not looking forward to Twitter tomorrow or today? Just anxiously awaiting the news on whether or not he's going back on the DL?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's going back on the DL.
I wouldn't either.
He's been very quiet.
Not this year.
Yeah, they haven't, you know, given any kind of, you know, positive hints that he's getting ready to play. He's, you know,
here he comes,
feeling better. No, balance.
He's in the morgue.
The waiting game sucks.
It Let's does. Play Hungry Hungry Hip.
It was
exactly.
It was kind of like, you know, the day that they were announcing what happened to him. It was just kind of complete silence, and then it was like, Cashman will address the media at quarter before. I was like, oh, well, that's dandy. Company.
It's like, yay.
I'm sure this is great news. Jeter's fine.
He's just holding a press conference to, like, celebrate how good Jeter is.
The MRI was amazing.
The I in MRI now stands for invincible.
Doctors have never seen such a good MRI. Ever.
It's possible this man has a Wolverine-ish healing factor.
Oh, they actually found the cure to cancer in Jeter's MRI. And we're announcing it for you here first.
There we go. I miss baseball.
It's been a long week without it.
Yes.
Baseball. Well, you were at the Home Run Derby, Greg.
Yeah, I was at Citi Field. It was a lot of fun, actually. Yoenis put on a show in the first round. That was very enjoyable.
Did you come close to catching a dinger?
Not even close. I was in foul territory, so no. Not even close.
Lame.
Well, the dinger seats cost about $600, I believe, whereas I was in the much cheaper section.
Wow.
Yep.
Tell you, those two that one high schooler did a pretty decent job too, even though he had a metal bat. There's no mistaking the ping of the college baseball. I think everyone uses a metal bat except major leaguers now.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was a lot of fun. I usually rag on the All-Star game. Of course, that could just be because of Berman, but it's surprisingly much more fun than I thought it would be. I guess it goes back to the love of, you know, watching home runs.
So you bought tickets thinking it was going to be terrible?
I didn't think it was going to be terrible, but, you know, I didn't think it was going to be all that and a bag of chips if we want to go old school with it.
Let's see.
But, no, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't like seeing Robinson Cano get hit by a ball, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man.
My heart, like, sank.
I joked online. I was like, yeah, we were just, you know, the injury bug of 2013 was just waiting for the grand stage before they took out our best player.
It was like the most 2013 thing ever. That might dethrone Travis Hafner getting taken out by the pitching machine.
I don't know, I don't know.
You don't know? I don't know. It's the All-Star game. He gets hit by a pitch right in the knee.
It was a pitching machine.
Sure. But I think he fouled it off.
The pitching machine became self-aware and took him out.
I think they nicknamed that pitching machine the Humbler. He got taken out by something called the Humbler.
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't let anyone admit that I'd gotten taken out by a pitching machine.
So, yeah, what happened?
Tripped.
Your next Vernon Wells.
I can just...
And it's done.
And we're done. All right. Podcast over. Drops mic.
I can just see the...
I say we don't edit any of this out. But obviously.
Well, this got silly.
Rolling Hill!
Holy shit.
What is happening here? I don't even know what she's trying to say.
I can make out, I can see, and then it goes into a circle after.
I can see the pitching machine rolling out of the tunnel during the game. Right at Vernon Wells.
Not even pitching to him, just rolling over him.
Over and over again, though. Backed up. And then...
It'd be even better if it made, like, the backup truck noise, too, as it did. As it
I'm glad this thing is on wheels.
All right.
Tears are streaming down my face.
My God.
Well, we've now officially
what is
made
happening?
A, made Tanya cry on this podcast. At least they're tears of joy.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Get it together.
That's the power of the assassinated All right. pitching machine.
Serious face.
Serious face.
Baroque face. Well, in the upcoming series starting tonight, Andy Pettit is pitching against Felix DuBrant, and then tomorrow at 4, it's Hiroki Kuroda against John Lackey. And on Sunday, it's the Sunday night game with ESPN and that fun stuff with CeCe Sabathia and John Lester. So.
Oh, joy. Well, Lester hasn't been that good this year.
No.
It's really Lackey that's truly keeping them afloat. Well, that and their pretty much good offense. I missed that.
And it looks like Clay Buchholz's injury might be kind of bad, apparently.
As opposed to a good Clay Buchholz injury, this man has a history of bad, you know, injuries. That's why I don't trust him.
I thought he had the same injury that Pettit had, but then he just never came back.
He Clay Buchholz'd it.
So I don't know if he like made it worse or, you know, I don't know what happened. But, yeah, that was the last I heard of, like, what it was. And then it's like, he, like, had a setback and another setback.
Yeah, he had a setback today, and he said he's going to be reexamined today, Friday.
That's maybe, usually never a good sign.
Maybe he tore his trapezius muscle.
But, yeah, Lackey has been really good for them this year. Like, a lot better than I expected him to be.
Probably a lot better than Lackey expected him to be.
Especially after, like, almost blowing at his elbow again.
That was, like, terrifying to watch.
I thought that I thought his elbow was gone.
Like, that it was looked like it was.
Oh, yeah, it looked absolutely like his elbow was, like, gone.
Yeah, actually, I mean, all three of these games in this Red Sox series are winnable because Felix DuBrant and John Lester are not immensely threatening. So, I know this team doesn't... This team's best right-handed hitter right now is Chris Stewart, but you'd think they could do something.
That's the real problem. It's not that the Red Sox pitching is all that terrific. It's that our offense is just all that horrific. This series is actually winnable. I mean, I think every series is winnable, even with our anemic offense. And quite frankly, this is a series the Yankees really, really want to win. You know, get back up in the standings, show that they're going to have a strong second half.
Yeah, because they really blew an opportunity to kind of beat up on some crappy teams, and they were playing the Royals and Twins at home, and they only won 3 games in 7. So, I mean, the next several games, I feel like, are really going to tell how the second half is going to go, because if they look terrible against the really good teams in Boston and Texas, then that might show you, like, what this team has going forward.
Yeah, I mean, those games against teams that they probably should beat give me a little bit of reason to doubt how they will do.
Especially on the road.
Against a team like Boston, yeah. I mean,
the thought of them against you, Darvish.
Sure, anything can happen. Oh, God.
Even though Jason Nix homered last time. But he's not there to save them now.
But we're But we've been nixed with Nyx.
Didn't Kuroda, like...
This is why A-Rod can't come back fast enough.
Anyone that swings a bat can't come back fast enough, I don't think.
This series in Texas is also winnable. I mean, they're having, I would say, an off season for them. But they've just been plagued with injuries. Not as bad as us, but they've had their fair share of injuries this year.
Well, I mean, if you're saying that, if we're all saying that, you know, the series against the Red Sox and the series against the Rangers are winnable, like, what's a series that is not winnable? Like
Twins.
Twins is not winnable because we get beat up by the Twins.
A series in Oakland is not winnable.
True. Okay, I will probably say that, yeah, that's not winnable.
And in Detroit.
But, like, we can see what happens with these, you know, next few series. And, like, I mean, in the next week or so, they're going to have to make a decision if they're sellers or buyers. You know, we're kind of coming to the end. Well, what's today?
Yankees as sellers, I can never imagine that. I've just watched this team for too long to even consider that that's a possibility.
I feel like if Cashman really felt strongly that they were going to be buyers, he would have bought already. Or there would have been some sign that something would have happened by now. And I know that Cashman comes up with these ninja moves and stuff, but they're still, like, you know, even when the Beta move came out of nowhere, but there was so much talk about different types of moves that could have been made, whether they were real or not, whatever. There have been, like, no ideas of whether or not he can move this player. But this, aside from the Jared Murphy thing, like, that's really been it, that they're going to trade Jared Murphy for Justin Morneau, who is, like, worse than Lyle Overbay. I just don't know. So I feel like it's really coming down to the next couple games of whether they're really going to make a decision on whether or not they're going to trade for somebody or they're going to, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they would do. They'd probably stay pat more than they would sell.
Yeah, that's it. If they're not going to buy, then they're just going to ride out the season and hope it turns out well. And they could just chalk it up to injuries and just not kind of like I think they did in 2008, where they'll make maybe a minor move here and there, but they realize, you know, all right, this year we probably can't make it, so let's focus on next year and see what we can do. I think the real issue with focusing on next year is, again, the plan 189.
True.
Because that, it seems to be hindering us. Well, that and the free agent market for after the offseason is not looking all that promising.
And the team's not getting any younger.
Well, the last thing...
It's not going to be like 2008 when, oh, we didn't make the playoffs, so we're going to go get CC Sabathia and Mark Teixeira and AJ Burnett. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing I wanted to see happen is them trade Jared Murphy for Justin Morneau, and he'll be gone by the end of the year, and, like, what was the point of this?
I don't think that would happen.
I'm never a fan of trading for rentals.
I mean, I don't think that particular trade would happen because the Twins have Joe Mauer, so there's no point.
Sure, but, well, you know, if they can move Mauer to first
base. That's what I was saying. If they're shopping Morneau, that probably means, especially if they, you know, were considering J.R. Murphy, that probably means Mauer is on his way to first.
Which would probably be the smart move. I mean, you know, if they want to keep Mauer healthy.
More valuable to catcher.
Sure, but I'd rather have a, you know, healthy first baseman than an unhealthy catcher.
Or a sickly pitcher.
MLB Trade Rumors just had a post about someone writing that the M&M boys' time in Minnesota is coming to an end.
Bill Hughes.
Go, Andrew.
St. Louis or somewhere? Is this going to happen?
St. Louis?
They're in on the hunt in Garza.
Where did we get...
I've heard that after Garza gets traded, Phil Hughes might be moved. Because, like, anybody who missed out on Garza will be like, oh my god, we need a pitcher, quick.
Hughes now.
So we've officially designated Hughes as sloppy seconds.
Yes.
Okay.
He is. Even if he went first, he'd be sloppy seconds.
Arizona is another destination that could work for Hughes as well.
I'll take Paul Goldschmidt, please.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, please. In a heartbeat. But that would never happen.
No, not even close.
I'll take Adam Eaton, the outfielder Adam Eaton. Not the other
not
Adam
the very,
Eaton.
Not the very retired pitcher Adam Eaton.
No, no. Or Didi Gregorius. Take him.
Oh, yeah, I liked him. That's right, I forgot Arizona played for us this year because your long injury league. But, yeah, I liked what I saw from him.
Do you want IPK back?
No.
Not after hitting people in the head.
Yeah, that,
I don't want that guy on my team.
Guy's kind of a jerk.
No, but seriously, like, who could the Diamondbacks give us for Phil Hughes?
Someone. I don't know.
The pool?
Phil Hughes and J.R. Murphy for Miguel Montero.
Miguel Montero had a bad year.
I know.
Hey, I don't like that trade.
Boo. Not another Montero.
Boo.
What about Martin Prado?
I would probably take Prado.
I said
But they just gave him an extension.
Oh, did they? He's a better Knicks because he's a good utility guy.
He's an actual good utility guy. He can actually start.
A ball game?
A ball game, yeah. What about, there's also that third base prospect they have, Davidson.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like, I think he won the Triple A or the minor league home run derby or something.
No, that's I don't know if Hughes gets him, though.
No, probably not. I mean, probably more than that, but.
What about Java Nunez added on?
Oh, ooh, well, ooh. It would be a
sold.
Deal that they could refuse.
That's it. That's done right there.
Calling it.
Why didn't you say so earlier?
The Yankees would probably be looking for some sort of prospect or sorts that we haven't really considered as much yet.
Or veterans.
The Diamondbacks have another shortstop prospect named Chris Owings, who looks like he's going to be stuck behind Didi Gregorius now, but he's hitting really well in the Pacific Coast League. I mean, it's a big hitters league, but still.
Pacific Coast League.
Yeah.
You almost said that with, like, disdain.
Well, it's just, I think that league kind of...
it inflates numbers.
It makes prospects look a whole lot better than they are, and then they get to the majors, and it's like, why can't you hit? Oh, Pacific Coast League.
But still, it's more than anything the Yankees really have in the pipeline at shortstop.
Well, yeah, because Cito Culver.
What are you talking about? Young White CC? He's awesome. Well, I mean, we could use third base and shortstop prospects, so...
Yeah, to say the least.
What about Addison Russell from the Athletics?
Do the Athletics give up prospects?
I don't know. Maybe they do it for this one chance to, like, do stuff.
Of course, they're pretty set with their rotation anyway, aren't they?
Probably. They've got, like, pitching to spare.
Jerks.
I don't know. It says that... Ooh, why is Brett Anderson on the 60-day DL? What happened to him?
Oh, didn't he have, like, whatever injury he had before, he, like, had it again?
Oh?
Yeah.
Considering Phil Hughes' pop-up capability, he probably would do well in the insert name here, Coliseum.
Oko.
So there's that. But I don't think the Athletics would give up Addison. And mind you, I like his first name because we can have fun with that in the game threads.
Yes, we can trade. How about we trade Addison Maruzak for Addison Russell? Would the Athletics know the difference?
Anderson has a stress fracture in his foot.
Oof. That's probably going to suck.
Goodbye.
He's been out since May 1st and has a 50% chance of missing the rest of the year.
Okay.
Although there's only a 10% chance of that.
Well, there's an open rotation spot.
Ouch.
But didn't they have Straley and Straley? Straley?
And here's the thing, too. The Athletics would be a team that if Phil Hughes didn't work as a starter, they'd probably put him as a reliever. Not that they need, like, a closer, because they've got Grant Ball 4. I don't even know if that's probably pronounced wrong, but I just call him Grant Ball 4.
I think it's Balfour.
I know, it's Balfour. I just like Grant Ball 4 a little better. Oh, that's a thought.
Well, do we think that Phil Hughes is going to go anywhere, or do you think the Yankees are going to just ride it out with him and get that first round pick from him.
If Pineda keeps pitching well in the minors, I think they're going to get rid of Hughes. Especially if Nova continues his good performance.
I don't know really anybody who's going to give that much up for Hughes. So I feel like they would just be like, eh, you know what? We'll just keep him to the end of the season, offer him the qualifying offer, and see what happens. Like, I'm not really optimistic about anybody giving away, you know, trying to get something. Because you already have Garza on the market. People are probably going to be all over Garza before they're over Phils.
There are only one team can get Garza.
True. But I don't know. I don't know who is going to be looking for a pitcher and willing to give up something for Phil Hughes. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of not able to come up with any like, you know, perfect or not even perfect fit, like the right fit. Maybe the Diamondbacks. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I think whoever doesn't get Garza could see Hughes as an attractive option.
Possible. I guess the Diamondbacks could go for pitching, the Rangers, but I'm pretty sure they're the favorites for Garza.
Yeah. Seems to be
the Nationals, maybe. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing.
Are they buying?
Probably.
Maybe. They're like floating around 500.
I would be surprised if they would sell. I think they're probably going for it.
Yeah, I would say the Pirates are someone that would be willing, but like, I don't think they need pitching.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think the Pirates need pitching.
Yeah. You know, if we gave them Curtis Granderson, they'd probably be willing to give us something, but like, I don't know about pitching. Jeff Carstens is gone, so they got no one to, you know, worry about.
Man, you know, it's funny how a lot of people were curious when they gave up Hanrahan, and now look at them. They might even have a better closer.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of closers, Mo was wonderfully honored at the All-Star game. That was nice.
That was great.
I liked it.
Good stuff.
I have to say kudos to Joe Buck for keeping his mouth shut.
Yes, bravo, Joe Buck. And then it went into the Tim McCarver thing.
The Tim McCarver I'm retiring thing?
Yeah.
That was weird. I changed the channel after that. It was weird. I thought that Joe Buck and Tim McCarver were going to have, like, a moment to, like, I should be watching.
Mom, but I'm uncomfortable.
But, yeah, no, I thought the Rivera moment was really great. I was surprised that I felt so, like, I don't know, I felt something.
Moved,
I guess. Yeah, it was
all the feels.
All the feels were happening, and I was surprised. I thought it was be like, yay, he's pitching the All-Star game, like, you know, business as usual. But it was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it definitely insanity. Was. Which goes to show you, like, that was the All-Star game. What's going to happen in his last game?
Oh no. Oh no.
Big box of tissues.
He will just.
I can't even imagine the end of the year. Oh my god. All right, is that it for topic? Should we get to the tweet bag?
Let's tweet bag it.
All right. I'm not reading the questions.
Okay, I'll read them. Fine.
Yes, it's your job, Waffles.
Twisted my arm.
You are the hostess of the tweet bag.
Oh.
What?
Yes.
That sounded okay.
Craig wants to know, what is the most realistic trade proposal you've heard involving the Yankees at the deadline?
Oof.
None?
Most realistic.
Yeah. Are we talking fan trade or actual
logistics? I know my answer.
Okay.
Jabba for a pine tar rag.
That is realistic.
That would be pretty realistic.
I mean, I could see the Yankees going for Manoah with Murphy, but I hope they don't. I don't think, you know, one for the other is a really good deal for a rental, especially considering we could probably use J.R. Murphy up right now.
Yes.
Yep.
And he not only is he a catcher, but he's a right-handed hitter, and he's hitting. I think
those are all overrated qualities, if you ask me.
Probably.
Hey, we already have a right-handed hitting catcher who's awesome. And Chris Stewart. And Austin Romine.
Yeah.
Alright, so What are more realistic trade proposals? I really can't think of any because I haven't seen any
that I've heard of. I don't know.
There's been like nothing rumored really. So, I mean, and hopefully, I feel like any
Ninja Cash.
I feel like any deal involving Morneau would probably just be like another Mark Melancon for Berkman type deal, with hopefully not the person being traded becoming any good. But
ooh, Mark Montgomery.
Please don't.
Please do not. Next question from Matt. Predictions on what the next most 2013 Yankees injury will be.
I thought we already discussed the Humbler chasing out Brennan Wells.
Oh, God.
Rolling over him.
If Alex Rodriguez goes down with some kind of injury within the first week of him being back,
that would be pretty 2013.
That would be pretty 2013.
Him falling down the stairs.
Or if in the Humbler's haste to get to Vernon Wills, it runs over A-Rod's foot and breaks it.
I think before it runs over Wells, it would probably just randomly shoot a ball at A-Rod's hip.
Right in the hip.
And then, its force field will affect the metal in Jeter's ankle.
It's force field.
And then it will start laughing maniacally, like, ha ha, ha ha.
And then it will double back and take out Cano on his way back to the tunnel.
I think pretty obvious this episode is named The Humbler.
If Alex Rodriguez gets hurt in any way, like, I don't know, maybe he burns his mouth on like a sandwich or something. Like,
I'm calling it Alex Rodriguez breaks wrist reaching for his wallet to pay cashier.
There you go.
Breaking news.
Or he has a allergic reaction to shellfish.
That he never knew he had.
That he never knew he had. He was eating the spread at Scranton. what happened? Like, in the beginning of the year, I think, Johnny Peralta had, clam chowder. And he had no idea he was allergic to shrimp or seafood or something. And he had to go to the hospital.
That would be pretty 2013 Yankees.
That would definitely happen.
Okay, last question from the official tweet bag from Lily. Will A-Rod be vindicated in the eyes of Yankees fans?
No. Not a chance.
No.
Not even if he hits a home run in every one of his at-bats from here to the end of the season.
Seriously, that game he doesn't hit a home run, he would be booed.
Yeah.
Or they would just be like, oh my god, he's on steroids.
Oh,
again.
Yeah.
Lose, A-Rod. It's unfortunate.
The fact that he continues to play for the Yankees after being booed at every turn, that's some dedication right there.
He needs to try harder.
Probably.
But yeah, no. So I'm pretty sure the universal answer is no for that question.
Yeah.
Correct.
By the way, Lily, thank you for that drawing request of the cannon Yankee Stadium. I love that.
Now faux tweet bag. In what place do each of you think the Yankees will finish this season?
I'm still going with first.
Whoa.
I'm still calling it.
That's bold.
Because that is a bold prediction.
Again, the race is still tight, and Yankees do have pieces coming back. I mean, they've made it this far with the pieces they have, so theoretically, A-Rod comes back and does well, and Granderson comes back to go does well. They have a solid offense, and there's really, there's some concerns with the pitching, but I think it could still turn around. Plus, I just really feel Cashman is going to do some sort of something we're not expecting, and it'll catapult them back into first. I expect Boston to fail. So, yeah, first place, calling it.
Next. Whoa.
I said fourth place. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying third or fourth.
No, one. Pick one.
Third.
There, good. Waffles?
I would have said third, but just to break up the same answer, I will say second.
All right. Whoa. Do you think they'll make the wild card?
Yes.
Maybe.
I say Boston collapses, Orioles shock everyone and win the division, Yankees squeak in for the wild card.
All right.
I think Tampa's going to win the division. I think their pitching, their pitching's really good. And yeah, they've gotten some weirdly good performances out of like James Loney and Luke Scott, but I think that as long as they can keep up like some decent offense, then that's going to be enough for them to take division and surpass the Red Sox, who I agree will also falter a little bit. I think the Orioles are going to make the playoffs too, but I don't see the Yankees making it.
I mean, I could definitely see the Yankees coming in third, but I'm going to err on the side of optimistic and say that...
Listen, with me calling first, you're definitely erring on the side of not ridiculous optimism.
I will say that I would say third, but I think that they will get surprising production from the returning players, and there will be a very helpful move at the deadline that will push them just into second place very late in the season.
All they really have to do is shut down the Humbler.
There you go. Somebody. Deactivate it. Somebody.
Or shoot him on
deactivate that thing.
Shoot it with a shotgun.
You try to deactivate it.
Well, I'm gonna say that the Yankees are not gonna make the playoffs. I think the Rays and one of the Rangers and Baltimore are going to make the playoffs. I think Boston's going to win the division. Hate it. I'm just saying it's going to happen.
I think they're playing two over their heads.
I actually Boston? Think.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the Orioles are going to win the division.
I think the Orioles are going
to win. I don't, actually. I think the Yankees are going to win the division. I think the Orioles will be second, though.
All right.
I think Baltimore makes the playoffs, though.
We all have different teams winning the division. So, is that...
That's how diverse this podcast is.
Yes.
So many perspectives.
It's deep.
No one thinks the Blue Jays are getting out of the cellar, though.
No.
Nope.
They really are a dick themselves over.
Whoa. Oh. Yikes.
We're done.
Boo.
No more sweet bag questions. Boo.
Shut this down for good. I'm out.
Last episode.
That did it.
Drop the mic.
Calling it.
Alright, next question.
No, okay. It's over.
No, we are done. What are some reasons to be optimistic heading into the second half of the season based on what we saw in the first half, if there are any?
What?
What happened in the first half that would give you reason to be optimistic heading into the second half?
They're still over 500.
There you go.
The people that are injured are still alive. So they can come back and maybe be good.
There have been no fatalities.
Marcus Scherer is dead. But Granderson lives.
I mean, the fact that they're over 500 shuffling out the offensive players that they have, I would say that's a positive. And if you can, like, they're still in contention.
Yeah, I mean, we said from the beginning what they really needed to do was tread water. I feel like we've needed them to tread water a little bit longer than we thought, but they have managed to keep their heads above water.
And clearly we're treading piranha filled water with this team right
now. Oh
yeah.
With someone's like leg bleeding profusely.
Yes. Nunez's.
So I mean, the fact that they have done that despite being as bad as they truly are.
I mean, didn't we discuss the last time or on the site or whatever that this is really one of the worst offenses we've ever seen from this team? And they're still contending. So that's, if there's not a reason to be positive, I don't know what is.
I don't know how they're winning, but they're winning. Well, they're winning.
They're winning because they have a decently strong bullpen, and of course, Mo.
Oh, yeah. Make Mo a starter because those mean 9 innings of shutout baseball.
Clearly.
Yes.
Okay, I think the last question is, if you were starting this blog from scratch and had never heard the name Pinstripe Alley, or Pinstripe Bible, for that matter, what would you call it?
Humbler's Vengeance.
I was just going to go with Pinstripe Empire.
Really? Really?
Yeah. I came up with that idea myself.
I suppose it's a good choice. You figure, you know, we're called the Evil Empire. We have the Empire State Building. I bet you have a good idea for the logo, too.
Probably.
Let's hear it.
Something, Pinstripe Death Star.
No, you have the Death Star with baseball stitching around it.
Ah, yes. Of course.
Of course.
Okay, now I remember my own ideas.
I see. That's brilliant. I never would have come up with that.
No, certainly not. This is definitely not Greg's idea.
No. Waffles, your idea?
Well, I would have to go with Matt's suggestion of Waffle House, obviously.
That would be apropos.
Because, I mean, come on.
Right. Andrew, your choice?
The Andrew Mearns baseball blog.
Boo. Oh,
no one would go to that.
Boo.
No. Well, I have tried to have a blog separate from the Pinstripe Bible Alley thing where I was trying to like sync up the posts, but I never really did it. But the name of the blog on there is 9 o'clock Lightning. So that's what it would be.
You're betraying us, is what you're saying.
Yes, for the blog that I've posted on like once in the past year. Yes.
Quick, fire him.
Cannon.
Sick the Humbler on him.
It's been done quick before.
Into the sun.
Can happen again.
Could also go with, like, Pinstripe Westeros, you know, something nerdy. All right.
And that is all.
That is all. I'd go with Pinstripe TARDIS. There you go.
Ooh.
Like a nice Doctor Who thing. All right. I guess that does it for the tweet bag. And as always, we like to end our quick, fun podcast with the Yankee and Mitre of the Week. You're welcome, Waffles. So, we'll start with you, Tanya. Who is your Yankee and Mitre? Actually, who is your Yankee of the Week?
My Yankee of the Week would be Mariano Rivera, obviously.
Are we all? We're all going to pick Mo, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure.
But we can't all do the same one, so let's try to pick somebody else.
Okay, well, that's why I went first. So, Rivera, because...
Because you're the boss.
I am the boss, and Rivera is also the boss, so...
Okay, and this is like the all-star game Yankee Mitre of the Week. So, Jason, who are you picking?
Chris Sale.
That's a good one.
He's good. And he should be a Yankee.
Trade Hughes
for him. Can we get him?
Can we get him? How do we get him?
Do you agree?
You know who gets him. We all know.
All? Oh, yeah.
Java, Hughes, it's done. Andrew, Yankee of the Week all-star game, I guess.
We'll go with Max Scherzer, since he was pretty good in his All-Star Game start. Not as good as Chris Sale, but options are limited. And Bo is already taken. So, yeah.
I'm picking Mo. I don't care what she says.
No, you can't pick Mo. Mo's already been picked.
Who else is there? Oh, you know what? Screw it. I'm picking Yoenis Cespedes for my All-Star Game show.
Nice.
I can do that. For my All-Star Home Run Derby thing. Yoenis Cespedes, my Yankee of the Week.
Actually, I have a new Yankee of the Week.
No, it's too late. You've chosen.
I'm editing. I can make it.
The die is cast.
My Yankee of the Week is A-Rod, because he's been good in rehab games and has two homers this week.
Ooh, fair choice. Waffles, Mitre of the Week.
Matt Harvey.
You took mine.
Obviously.
That's why I go first. I mean, he went to Carolina, so, like, a part of me doesn't hate him, but you can't take out Cano in an exhibition game, so.
In front of a national audience.
You can get compared to Mitre.
All right. Jason, Mitre of the Week. Put you on the spot.
This is too much pressure. I had a Matt Harvey, and I got taken.
Boom. Tanyard drops
the I got Tanyard. Damn it. I'll say Joe Nathan.
Just cause.
Just cause.
All right.
Because he pitched the ninth, and He was mean.
You could say Jim Leland.
Jim Leland's nice. He's fine.
Okay. So you're going with Joe Nathan because.
Because.
All right. Andrew, Meteor of the Week.
My Meteor of the Week is the MLB scheduling coordinator for adding in too many days off during the All-Star break. I think they could do it a lot more efficiently if they did the Futures game at a time when everyone could watch it and not, like, during actual games on Sunday. Do the Futures game on Monday, then the Home Run Derby the next day, then the All-Star game, and then go.
Technically, you could do the Futures game Wednesday.
It's also true, because Major League Baseball is not playing, so, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to watch the ESPYs, yeah.
Ugh, that could be a potential Meteor of the Week. But no, my Meteor of the Week is Robinson Cano.
Whoa.
I expect to go to a Home Run Derby. I wanted him to win, and he hit 4 home runs.
He's retiring from the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, right, I know. Which is probably a good thing in the long run. And he scared me by taking that ball that Matt Harvey threw. He needed to man up and show me that he's invincible and can't get hurt this year.
Yeah, he should have stormed the mound.
Yes. with his bat.
And his son.
What?
And his dad.
Who I didn't even know he had.
I didn't even know he had
He doesn't
a son.
Have a son.
I think
but they
he
said
does.
It was his son.
He does have a son.
Robinson Cano?
He does have a son, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
That's the kid that Bartolo Colon smacked
in the face. I don't know if
that's
the kid that Bartolo Colon hit.
It is. It
that
is.
That kid is 2 years old at the beginning of the season. That kid is not two.
Either
Unless
way,
that article
he has a son.
That I read it was wrong.
So yeah, Cano, Meteor of the Week.
Ah.
Which will probably never happen again.
Yep. Even if he's bad.
Feel free to tweet us at the Tweetbag or on the faux Tweetbag on our site. Follow us on Twitter, I guess. You don't have to follow us on Facebook. I'm fine with you not.
We probably advise against it.
In fact, we just hope you don't. But yeah, tweet us, all that fun stuff.
So for Greg, Andrew, Jason,
she's stealing
me,
my role.
And the Humbler.
Say goodbye, Humbler.
Goodbye for now.
We are out. Drops mic.